just a few years ago, when I was a child, why, it was unheard of to have a lock on a door. You never locked your doors. You didn't need to. There wasn't any reason and no reason for fear or harm. So you just didn't lock a door. Today, it's not that way, and you know it as well as I that it's not that way. In many cities, we have locks on every door and several locks on the doors, bars on windows, and so on and so forth. Many of you have alarm systems and so on your automobiles today because you know that it will be stolen, ripped off, and because of the thief and the crime that we have in the streets today in our United States of America. I read some time ago about what they call a hot prowler. A hot prowler. It is a person that seeks entry into a house and they move all through the house while the occupancy is sleeping and do their whatever they're going to do, thievery, robbery, and so on and so forth, and then slip out of the house without anybody even knowing anything about it. I've heard of them crawling around on the floors and so on and so forth to keep from being seen and heard, and they rob the house, and then off they go. It wasn't just a few years ago that we had a lady in our church that woke up one night in the middle of the night and she heard a hot prowler in her house. She didn't exactly know what to do. She heard him move through one room and then another room. She was afraid to wake her husband, afraid that he would cause a commotion, and she didn't know what the man might do. And so she just lay and listened to try to determine what he was going to do. She heard him go into her little children's room, and hopefully that he did not harm them, and then moved into the kitchen, and finally she heard him leave out the front door. And next morning, of course, they found where that he had gone in, and thank the Lord, just robbed her husband's beer out of the refrigerator and left empty bottles on the front lawn. She was a very, very fortunate person. But that man entered through an unlocked door. Then, not too long ago, read in the paper in San Diego where that there was a rapist that would seek entry through an unlocked door. And once he was in, it was usually in the wee hours of the morning while he would do his dirt and then move on out, and he sought his entry through unlocked doors, people that just failed to lock a door and overlook and so on and so forth, and they paid the price. It was in Saturday, I'll never forget it, Saturday, August the 9th, 1969, quite a few years ago, but some of you, of course, have probably read the book and the account of the Manson gang. 10 p.m. at 10,050 Celio Drive in the city of Los Angeles, Sharon Tate and four others were murdered, brutally murdered, by the infamous Manson gang. That was their introduction into the society of America in 1969 by the murder of Sharon Tate and four others. The next evening, of course, there was another family that was brutally, brutally murdered. It was, if you've read the account, why, it was a horrible, horrible, hideous crime. Sharon Tate was carrying a child that was ready to be born, and she was ripped apart, and the unborn baby was killed and left to die, and blood all over the walls and so on and so forth. It was a startling, startling introduction to mass murder and crime in the streets of the United States of America. A lot feel that was just the beginning, that it did something. It did something to the fiber of America, and it opened a door to this type of crime that we have not been able to shut that door, and consequently is growing worse and worse. Jesus mentioned something about this generation, there are doors that you can unlock that it is almost impossible to ever get them shut and locked again once they are opened. My text talks about an unclean spirit. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, Scripture says that he walks through dry places. Apparently, seeking rest, and he can find none. There is something about these spirits, and we don't know everything about them. We know very little about them, but we do know that they seek a dwelling place, that they are restless, and they can't find any rest until they can find something to possess, a human body or flesh and blood to enter into so that they can seek their gratification. The Scripture here says that when he has gone out of a man, while he goes to and fro, trying to find rest for his soul, and then finding none, he will return to that house in which he has been evicted, and he will seek to re-enter into that house. And he calls it my house. You know, the devil never gives up easily. Never gives up easily. And when he comes and he finds that house, and may I say, that house is our body. That house is you and I. And he finds it swept and garnished, and may I say, unlocked. Then he says to himself, he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be evicted again. I'm going to go out. And then he is willing to share his dwelling with seven other spirits. And to further enhance his dwelling, he seeks seven more wicked spirits than he, stronger. And he gets them and he returns to that house in which he has been evicted, and they repossess that house or that body or that person. And the Scripture said that the latter end of that person is worse than the first or the beginning of that person. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we are in a spiritual warfare, and spirits is nothing to be fooled with. It's not a laughing matter to be possessed by the devil. It's not a laughing matter to be possessed by one of these spirits. But the sad part about it, some of us go around, we might as well have a welcome sign hanging around our neck and say, welcome spirits, or welcome devil, and we do everything in our power to let them know that they are welcome into our house. Now, I will tell you, it is time that you and I begin to put a no vacancy sign out on our house and let him know now that he isn't welcome in our place. Now, these unclean spirits, we know very, very little about them, where they came from. We don't know. Apparently, they roam freely. They desire a house, a flesh, a man, a beast. And we know in the Scripture even they will enhance. They housed themselves in a herd of swine. And the pigs ran violently down a steep place and drowned themselves. But the Scripture does tell us. It never tells us that they are good, that they're kind, they're clean. It always tells us the opposite. They are unclean. They are vile. They are filthy. They are corrupt. It has a connotation of immorality attached to these spirits. They're sullen and very, very vile. Vileness is a little worse than just being dirty. I have drank sometimes from a glass that maybe not be quite clean. I have worked in the yard and so on and so forth and had dirty hands, and I'd go ahead and pick up my sandwich and eat with dirty hands. I've drank from a glass that had a little dirt in it. No big deal. But there's a lot of difference between something that is dirty and something that is vile. Vileness would be like taking a glass and dipping it into a cesspool to get you a drink, and then drink the water from a cesspool. That gives you a little illustration of the difference between just being a little dirty and a little soil and something that is vile. And the Scripture gives us the illustration here that these spirits are always very, very vile. And in this generation that we're dwelling in, friend, you're not just dealing with just plain old spirits. You're dealing with vile spirits. You're dealing with a devil that is seven times worse than he was in the last generation, according to Scripture. It's a sad, sad situation that we're facing, but it is true. They desire a resting place. A resting place. It is very obvious that they can be evicted from a body. It's very obvious. And thank the Lord, when you and I receive the born-again experience and the Holy Ghost comes into our bodies, why, the devil must flee. Don't ever let anybody tell you that the Holy Ghost and the devil can dwell in the same temple. He can't do it. For when the power of God comes in, the power of the enemy must go. Praise God, aren't you glad for that? Praise God. And then he goes, and this spirit, I can't hardly imagine this spirit, once he is evicted, then he will go out and get seven more of his buddies, more wicked, and come in and dwell in my house. It is absolutely unfathomable to me and how this happens, but it does. Now, things that we have to understand, the Spirit of God moves through my spirit to touch me and to save my soul. He works from above. He comes through my spirit. He touches my spirit and he saves my soul. That is the door in which the Spirit of God comes in to house himself in my body. Likewise, the devil comes through our flesh. And through our lust and through sin and through the lust of the eyes, and he enters into our flesh. Somewhere along the line, there are doors that are opened to the devil. Now, I believe with all my heart that God has given us a kind of an immune system to the devil and to spirits. All of us are born in sin, I understand that. But there is something in us that God will not allow the devil to come in and possess us unless we open a door to him. You have to open a door. God immunes us from those things. But along the line, for instance, our conscience, when we sin against our conscience, we are opening a door to the devil. You know, your conscience tells you, you better not do it, you better not do it, you better not do it. But then your flesh overrides your conscience. You say, I'm going to do it anyway. What you're doing, you are opening a door and you are causing your conscience to be seared so that the devil can come in and possess you. It is a serious, serious matter. These are wicked, wicked, foul spirits, and there are many of them in the world today. Just think of these spirits. The spirit of unbelief, the spirit of immorality, the spirit of inordinate affection, the spirit of rebellion and pride and stubbornness and jealousy and homosexuality and worldliness and idolatry. All of these are spirits that are going rampant in the world today, and they're looking for a house to come into and to dwell. Unclean spirits, lying spirits, drinking spirits, lustful spirits, perverted spirits. You don't have to look any further than the maniac of Gadara in Mark 5 and 9. This man ended up a demoniac. He was a lunatic. He one time, possibly, if we could bring it up to the 20th century scenario, he very well at one time sat on the pews at a senior camp. A young person that had morals, that was good, that was righteous, that had been taught right, and the principles of living and the principles of honesty and so on and so forth. But somewhere along the line, he began to open a door. And the scripture tells us that he ended up a wild man out that dwelled among the tombs, that ripped off his clothing, that cut himself with stones. He was a miserable, miserable wretch that until Jesus came by, he was lost and completely, totally possessed by the devil. But thank God Jesus came by. In Matthew 17 and 15, the scripture tells us about the lunatic that actually the devil or the spirit would cast him into the fire. It's hard for me to understand how that these spirits get gratification through your pain. But let me tell you, these spirits and these devils, wherever they came from, whether they're the fallen ones or whether they're the antediluvian spirits or wherever, they get gratification through your pain and through your suffering. They're filthy and they're vile. They don't want anything clean. They want to go through the dirt. They want to go through the muck and through the mire of sin. That's where they get their gratification. This lunatic, that spirit would actually take that child and throw him into the fire. And when that flesh would be singed by fire and the smell of flesh that would begin to burn, somehow or another, it gave this spirit his gratification. He enjoyed it. He had his folly when he could cast that person into the fire or hurt him in some manner. We don't identify with things like that. And many of us sit here today, and we don't identify with what's out there. It is impossible for me to identify with some of the things that's going on in this world today. It's impossible for me to identify with drugs and various things that young people are getting involved in today because I've never been out there. But it is a real world. And there's a spirit out there that would love to see you hurt and love to see you in pain and love to see your life wrecked. And he will wreck it if you'll open a door to him. You know, I think all of us have besetting sins. All of us have weaknesses. And all of us, no doubt, have toyed with opening doors and unlocking doors to our soul. We can toy with it in many different ways. Toy with it in reading certain books and magazines and so on and so forth. We don't think it looks very, very, very innocent. But years ago, I made a covenant with my eyes that I refused to read anything that was suggestive, that would set on fire the passions of this flesh. Now, I hope that we're all adults here today. If any of you are adolescent, why, I would ask Brother White to allow you to be dismissed. But I hope that I'm talking to adults here. I think I am. We're senior campers, and I think we're adults. But you know and I know that there are things that you can read in books that sets on fire the passions of your old flesh. You start reading those books, and you know what books I'm talking about? My God, you're not all that innocent. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You can start reading them, and the passions of this old flesh begins to be set on fire. You'd better shut that door. You better lock it fast.
Because there's a spirit that's trying to get a hold of you. And he'll get a hold of you if you allow him. We play around with the devil. We play around with spirits and think, man, I can turn it on and turn it off. That's what you think. You may turn it on one time and turn it off and turn it off on two times and turn it off and three times. But one of these days, that spirit is going to go out and get seven more and bring it back and inhabit your house and you won't turn it off.
You know, there's a little tool that the devil is using today, and I hope I don't cross anybody's theology. But we have legalized video. We don't legalize movies. We don't legalize TV. But we legalize video, and we almost feel like that it's all right. Now, use it in the right manner, I don't have a problem with that. But I will tell you, campers, when you start renting the videos that you love to watch, and you see two people making love, and you enjoy that, I'm telling you, that is spiritual adultery, and you might as well be in the bed yourself if you're enjoying that thing. My God, where have we come to? Let's stay right. Let's stay righteous. Let's shut the door. Let's lock the door. You enjoy those movies, you might as well be there. You enjoy those movies, you might as well be a participant. Go on, I don't care whether you shout or not, but it's true, and you know where I'm touching. You know I'm touching where you're living. I know nothing about television. I don't watch it. Don't intend to watch it. I don't even watch it behind closed doors in a motel room. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! But I'll tell you one thing. And let me tell you, let me talk to you young men. You begin to watch, you tell me. I know some of you watch television in this mass congregation. You tell me that all of that junk on television of the homosexuals holding hands and so on and so forth. You tell me that that is godly. You tell me that that is enhancing your spirituality. You tell me that that's not the devil trying to get you to open a door. You know, I hope we don't have any of those here. But let me tell you something. Now I'm going to warn you. There is that spirit that knocks on your door. You say, Brother Stevenson, it'd never enter in. You don't have any power over it once you open the door and you put yourself in a suggestive situation and a compromising position. You'd better watch yourself. There are a few things that I don't understand about men. I don't identify with this generation. There's a lot of things about this generation I don't identify with. Now, I know that every man that wears an earring is not homosexual. I know that. I think I know it.
But let me tell you what it is. And you say there's nothing wrong with it. And some of you probably had one in your ear before you came up here. But let me tell you something. I'll tell you what it is, Brother White. It could very well be an open door. It could be a door that you're unlocking. Oh, yes. My God, there are spirits out there trying to get you. I think a man ought to act. Watch how he acts. I think he ought to watch how he walks. I think he ought to watch how he talks. I think he ought to watch how he dresses. On television, you see nothing but common law. In my day, we call it shacking up. Let me tell you something. People marry. Animals mate. But the spirit of this world is just mate. Just shack up. Just try it out for a while. Don't commit. I'm telling you, you had better shut that door. It is immorality. The scripture said, flee fornication. Our problem is, in this generation, they're telling you to flee to fornication. Run to fornication. Now, I know this is old stuff, old fogey stuff. This is old 60s stuff. I know that, but it's old biblical stuff too. It's Bible. It's Bible. Do you love Bible?
I got to hurry. I've got 10 pages of notes, and I got 15 minutes. Let me tell you something. The scripture said, talking to you, flee fornication. That means run from it. Get away from it. If it's in the back seat of an automobile, get out of there. Get out of there. Girls, I don't care how often he runs out of gas. Open that door and flee fornication. They're trying to tell us today that there is safe sex. Safe sex. Down just the street from my church, there is a large billboard that says safe sex. And then I refuse to say what they are, but you know what they are. And that is safe sex. Now let me tell you. Let me talk to you. They claim, and this is quite a liberal estimation. It's a guesstimation is what it is. But at least 1 in 10 of those things fail. Am I talking to adults or not? Do you think this is funny? You're dismissed. You better listen to me. This is the Word of God. And I'm trying to save you some heartache. I'm trying to save you some heartbreak. I have 14 and
16-year-old ladies in my church now that are filled with the Holy Ghost that had their babies at 14 and 16. If you wanted that, then go on and say that I'm an old fogey. But if you want to be safe from this junk, One in ten fail. All right. Let's just suppose that you don't get pregnant. Just suppose. Okay. Safe sex. And I didn't get pregnant. Just suppose you don't. And just suppose. Now you might. But let's just say you don't. And just suppose that you don't contact AIDS. Let's just suppose you don't. Now let me tell you something. That's 100% fatal. Nobody comes back from that. That is a door that when you open and you unlock, that you don't return. It's not funny. I've buried a couple of AIDS patients. I buried about a year and a half ago now a young man. How old was he, babe? 19, 20 years old. He'd gotten it through a dirty needle. Go ahead and do your drugs. Go ahead and do your drugs. Oh, yeah, man, that's tough, boy. Yeah, get a high. Yeah, you get a high, you'll get a low, too. That young man, I think he was 19 to 21 years old. He came to our church. He tried to pray. He tried to get his act together. But he was so strung out. And he had gotten a hold of a dirty needle and he got AIDS. I buried him. I'm telling you, there are spirits loose in this world today that's after you. Whether you know it or not, you're the cream of the crop. Just suppose now, this safe sex business, that you don't contact AIDS. Huh. So I didn't get pregnant, and I didn't contact AIDS. So I guess it's safe sex. But let me call your attention. What about self-respect? What about virtue? What about honor? What about guilt? What about dignity? What about righteousness? What about conscience? Come on, man! I'll tell you what I think we ought to do. It doesn't take a real man to go out and have safe sex. One great athlete. And he was. He used to be a fan of his. Till he opened his mouth and told me how stupid he was. That he has had safe sex with hundreds. Big deal. What's that mean? I'll tell you, I have more respect for a man that goes to the altar on his wedding day and said, I am virtuous. And what's wrong with the word virgin? What's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. Come on, men. You ought to be hollering and screaming hallelujah. I'm going to talk fast. I wish I had another 30 minutes. I'll tell you what you better do. Men, you better put a a sign across your chest. No vacancies. Not for rent. Not for rent. Now let me talk about that not for rent business. Let me talk about that not for rent business. Now, it's no secret. And here again, are we adults or not? If I can't talk to adults, I'll talk to adolescents. But I'd like to talk to adults today. Are you adults over here? Then keep the smirk off your face. It's no secret. It's no secret that the devil is after young ladies. You're in the prime of your life. You're beautiful to look at. And some of you know it. And to some of you, that's all right. You do. But let me warn you. Let me warn you. Don't let it become your besetting sin. Don't spend so much time in front of the mirror that you forget about your soul. Come on, say hallelujah. I'll tell you where the devil would like to have you. You say, Brother Stevenson, this will never happen to me. I'll tell you where the devil would like to get some of you, young ladies. If he can get an inkling that you have a crack in that door of your soul, and there is a possibility that it is for rent, he'll have you working in a dive joint. He'll have you stripping and showing off that beautiful body of yours. Now, friend, that is when you start hanging the sign out and saying, I'm for rent. You say, I'd never do that, Brother Stevenson. Then you'd better watch that unlocked door that you're dealing with right now. If there ever was a time, now I'm warning you, if there ever was a time that the United Pentecostal Church and you young people right here should stand for standards, it ought to be right today. I don't cut my hair. I don't wear jewelry. I don't put makeup on my face. Let me tell you, men, there's a lot of pretty faces over here, and you know that. You've been checking them out all week. But let me warn you, and let me tell you, and let me give you a word of advice. When you start to pick and choose a wife, you look beyond that pretty face. And just so you know that I'm in the know, when I say face, I'm not stopping at the face. You understand? You understand? Do you understand what I'm talking about? But let me warn you. You look at that pretty face over there only. It may be heaven to look at, but it'll be hell to live with. I'll try to wind it up as soon as I can. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you. Here is the secret of the devil. One of the devil's most successful tactics is when he can look like God. His most successful tactic is when he can look like God. I didn't know that. Well, I'm telling you. There's a lot of things you don't know at 18, 19, 20. You think you know everything. And you probably know a lot more than I do about some things, but I will tell you, I know a lot of things that you don't know yet. I've been over the road. I look it too, don't I? But the Scripture said in 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15 that He transforms Himself into an angel of light. Paul mentioned about the messenger of Satan that came to buffet him. So the devil sends messengers to us. And when he can get a messenger that looks like God, he doesn't come with a forked tail and a red undersuit on, horns on, no. Girl, sometimes he comes like a slick willy. Or a muscle mic. Yes, sir. Or a Carl Clyde. Come on, babe. Everybody's doing it. Or a lazy Louie. Too lazy that he can't even make it to the front seat in church. He has to sit in the back seat so he's closer to the door. Too lazy, can never make it to the altar and pray. Twelve o'clock. There's a modern picture by Stanley Berkeley entitled The Hidden Danger, which deals with an interesting event at the Battle of Waterloo. Some of you history buffs. This battle decided the fate of Napoleon, upon which issues hung the destiny of Europe at that time. And there occurred in him a crucial moment. Throughout the day, Napoleon had kept his famous cavalry in reserve. They were the finest soldiers in the world at the time. They were known as the Old Guard, who had never known defeat. Never known defeat. And impatiently they waited and waited the command of their commanding officer, Napoleon, to charge. Napoleon, seeing the issues going against him, gave at last the order, and he hurled them against the British lines. On they came, and gallantly, neck to neck, towards the thin British lines. But what Napoleon had overlooked, and the whole Napoleon army, they had overlooked a slight dip in the terrain. And Wellington had played it to his advantage. He saw a slight advantage. And he put sharpshooters down in that swell. And when Napoleon's gallant cavalry charged, they ran head on into the sharpshooters of Wellington that mowed the Napoleon Guard, the Old Guard, down. They regrouped and tried it again, but it was too late.
Waterloo was lost. The fate of Napoleon and Europe was decided by a dip in the road, by that hidden danger on which Napoleon had not counted. This one weak spot ruined him and turned victory into defeat. Now let me talk to you seriously. You might just have one little weakness, but don't let it lead to your defeat in God. The devil is trying to tell you to just open the door. Unlock that door. Let me in. Don't let it be to your defeat. Now, I'm talking to adults. You know what your weaknesses are. You keep that door locked. You keep it locked. Because I warn you, some of those doors of passion, once they're open, you don't close that door again. You don't close it. You don't get it back. It's gone. Virtue is gone. Honor is gone. Respect is gone. It takes a long time to build those things back, girl. It takes a long time. Don't sell it. Don't sell it. Don't sell it. Don't let one dip in the road throw you. Four things come not back. The spoken word, the spit arrow, the past life, and the neglected opportunity. Affords you an opportunity that you can't afford to neglect. God has dealt with some of you here about certain things when you get back home. I beg of you, I plead with you, make the dedication here. Deal with that. Slam that door shut. The Scripture gives you power to resist the devil and he'll flee. But you have to resist. Shut that door. Hang that no welcome sign out. And say, not for rent, devil. Not for rent. A big handicap is a small fault that was neglected. That was neglected. I want to close with this. I'm not finished. I'm going to close. I know it's time. 10:4-5. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds and bringing every imagination into the obedience of Christ. Every act that I do, I'm going to run it through the obedience of Christ.
Let's love the Lord together. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God.